Ask the Podcast Coach for January 16th, 2016.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome aboard. Keep your arms and hands inside the ride at all time. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. The special sleep-deprived episode this week, because I've just given up on sleep. It's highly overrated, and I'm finding out you don't really need it, unless, of course, you want to make sense. That's the thing that, and having complete sentences, things like that. But joining me, Jim Cullison is out on assignment, being the good dad that he is. Congratulations to Jim and his son is now officially a Marine. So
Semper Fi.
That's it. So he's out watching him get pinned or whatever it is you do when you graduate. To anybody in the service, thank you for your service, because that's not me, buddy. I'm like, you know what? Let's see. Let's get potentially shot at, roll around in the mud, have people yell at me. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. Thanks. I'll just stay
in
here.
The services, there's only two things that are worse than Marine boot camp, and that would be one of the academies, their freshman year, because it's like a year long, or special forces. So Marines, hoorah, you rock, Tim, and way to go.
That's it. And then joining me, that guy right there, the voice you just heard, the one and only Stargate Pioneer, buddy. I have a question for you. I thought about this morning. Because in case
the questions never end from you.
And in case anybody wonders, like, what's his name? Obviously, Stargate Pioneer, not your birth name, in case anybody was wondering. But that would be awesome, wouldn't it? What you know? Really, my parents named me Stark. My middle name is Pioneer. And are you worried now that you're doing video that that somebody's going to go, hey, what is Mike or Steve or Bill or whatever is, hey? And somebody's
I'm not so worried about. Well, I'll leave that alone, because that'll give away too much information. But there's a part of it that I'm really not worried about, but there's a part of it that I'm still worried about. And by the way, you can call me SP. Everybody SP. Does.
Okay, cool. Excellent. And if you're new to the show, we're here every Saturday at that's actually it. You have a big giant mask on right now, don't you? You get done, you just peel it off and he's blonde and
Like I just go on the sci-fi show Face Off and they just do me every time.
We're here every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And you'll see where there's a little thing there that says, I think, click to join or click to call in or something like that. I forget what it looks like on their side at this point.
Open seat, isn't it?
Open seat, yes. We have an open seat. And that means you can just click on that and come on in, ask us any question, preferably about podcasting. That's always good. And if you do call in and we're talking about something, hang tight, because we will be like right there. Don't jump out. It doesn't hinder your audio consuming. You can consume while you're sitting there in line. And we would love to answer any questions. That's what we do here. Yeah. So last week I talked about OmniStudio.com, OmnyStudio.com. Went over and played with it. And we actually have a question. I think I'm going to come up with that, because my criteria for media hosts, because here's the thing, $9 a month and you can upload as much as you want and you can download as much as you want, which sounds like too good to be true. And I'm kind of like, usually it's like, because SoundCloud kind of has that same thing. Theirs is just $15 a month. So people keep throwing this Omni Studio at me because, like, hey, it's cheaper than SoundCloud. And look at this. It's too good to be true. So I went over and played with their free version. And my criteria is basically what I upload is what I want to download. Like, don't change my name. Don't change my bitrate. Don't change my ID3 tags. And to make a long story short, they whack all that. They have an interesting thing. It's a whole different, it's outside of the box, which I kind of was like, but they're really going after, I believe, from just tinkering around with the free version, like the radio market. Like, they have a system, like if you're, DAV and every day at 3 o'clock, the Binky and the Wiz show comes on, you could set it up to record that stream and automatically come into your dashboard. And then here's the big whoop-de-doo. You can edit it right there online and clip and splice and things like that. So I was like, okay, I get the clipping and the splicing. I thought it was cool. If you're using Blueberry Stats, you can put in the redirect. I was like, well, there's somebody was thinking ahead. But I was really kind of bummed that I downloaded and you had zero ID3 tags. And so that was going to be my question is 70% of podcasters now or podcast listeners are consuming on a portable device, which A, never sees the file name because they change the file name to whatever the name of your post is. And B, most apps, there are still a couple, don't use the ID3 tag. So do we care about the file name? And do we care about ID3 tags? Mainly the file name was the first one I was thinking of. What do you think there, SB?
Well, let me ask you this. So for your main host, you don't want the ID3 tags changed and you don't want the file name changed. Right. But for a supplementary host, such as Google Play or Stitcher, do you care?
No. Let's see. Well, Google Play, we don't know yet.
Right.
Yeah. But Stitcher, doesn't mess with my ID3 tags. They do mess with the format. Like they make it sound like caca, poo-poo.
Yeah, they do. Spreaker doesn't sound all that great either compared to what you actually upload. But
hey. Well, it's weird because Spreaker upgrades it to 128 stereo, which if you're not 128 stereo, it's kind of like, well, what? But they want everybody to have the same bit rate. I'm sure it's something with their server or something like that.
Right. As long as what I want to display to my listener or viewer in the podcast app or whatever, as long as that stays the same, I'm not sure. And I'm not sure if iTunes is pulling that information from the ID3 tag. I think it is.
It is. The desktop version does. And that's where I made a video. In fact, I should have brought that over here. I made a video so you can see their stats. I will go grab that. But iTunes, and so does Windows Media Player. So if somebody's playing the, so I was kind of like, but I mean, their player is pretty and they have multiple kind of configurations of it.
Maybe it's just like Blog Talk Radio where they didn't understand that you didn't want your ID3 tags messed with. And when you had a chance to sit down and talk with them, they were receptive to what you had to say.
Yeah. I'll give them credit. I sent them over my questions. I'm like, do you guys do this? Do you guys do this? And they said, yeah, they said you might lose some ID3 tags. And I'm like, actually, you lost them all. I'm like, so they have an interesting thing because their terminology does not match what most of us do. Like when you sign up, there's a company, which would be like, you know, Two Geeks, you know, whatever maybe your network is. Then you have a program. A program is your podcast, and your podcast is made up of clips. And then a playlist can be also your podcasting. So that was the hardest part, was like, what is what? It's just like, so, and they say, oh, here we go. Zencaster. Is this the man behind Zencaster?
It is.
How are you? How are you, my friend?
Good, good.
Thank you. By the way, I did the, have you ever guys done this where you sign up for an account and then you type your email wrong? And then when you go to log in, they're like, nope, we don't recognize you. And so I send a thing over to your tech support. I'm like, hey, guys, I spelled School of Podcasting wrong because I only type it about 500 times a day. And you guys fixed me right up. That was very cool.
I remember that request.
Yeah. So thank you very much for that. So
happened to me with Blab, actually, too. Typed in my email wrong. And Sean, I believe it is, hooked me up.
So, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Yeah, this is cool. This is my first time blabbing.
So if you guys have questions about Zencaster, and I actually recommended you guys last night. Somebody was like, I got people, they're not real technical, and they want to record Skype, and they want all the control and this and that. So my question is, how many people can you have on like a call?
That's a decent question. I don't know what I've never tried to just spam it and see like when it breaks. I'd need some help with that, I guess. There's no set threat. There's no set threshold to, you know, you can have as many people as you want until.
Yeah. You know, Eileen is keeping me honest here. Zencaster, if you're a person that does a lot of interviews, here's the cool thing about Zencaster. You basically, you sign in, you start what's the name of it? A project, if I remember right. What do you call like a call?
Yeah, we call it a project.
Yeah, you start a project and you basically send a link to as many guests as you want. And the beautiful thing, and you configure it with your Dropbox, and then basically you send a link to people. They click and join like beyond easy. And when you're done, you get Let's say we had four people on a call. If I understand this right, you get five files, one for each person and then one that's mixed together. Is that correct?
Yep. Yep. But you'll get a separate track for each person in the call, and then it'll do a final mix for you that runs compression and noise canceling and loudness leveling and all that on it for you. And then you get a final mix out from there.
Gotcha. And how rude of me. So I don't keep calling you Zencaster. What's your name?
My name's Josh.
Josh. Thanks, man.
Nice to meet you, Josh.
You too. Stargate.
And, yeah, Mike Phillips wants to know, is this based on WebRTC? We're getting our geek on.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. It uses the WebRTC API to connect to handle kind of the conversation. And then it uses the Web Audio API to route the audio and record it. The kind of the value proposition for Zencaster is A, it makes it easy, and B, it records everyone locally so that you don't have to deal with recording Skype artifacts, and you know, if you have a bad internet connection, sometimes that can be a problem. So
very cool.
Everyone should sound like they're in the same room.
So what happens if your Dropbox is full? What happens to the file then?
You get a warning beforehand that says, hey, your Dropbox is full, you know, make sure you download your audio. And so at that point, it just doesn't collect it all for you. You'll kind of have to get each guest to download the audio and email it to you. Or,
well, that was the question. Mike wants to know, are the MP3 files, are those stored locally then? Obviously, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, without getting too technical, it records a wave and an MP3 locally on each computer. It sends the MP3 up to Dropbox while you're talking in little pieces, just in case something, you know, a power outage or something, you've got a backup already synced to the cloud. And then starting this weekend, at the end of the recording, it will then try to upload everybody's WAV files to your Dropbox account too.
Very interesting. And so what happens if somebody, you know, crashes or they lose their internet or what, you know, let's go worst case scenario. You know, if I'm talking to SP and all of a sudden he just disappears because, you know,
it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. I mean, well, at that point you could either have them download the audio from their computer, or you know, up to whatever, you know, it syncs every 30 seconds. So if their computer crashed or they lost power, you'd have their entire audio up until, you know, a maximum of 30 seconds from when they lost connection. So
got it. Well, the questions are pouring in here. Does it record the actual, let's see, record the audio on the actual computer so that it's uncompressed, or does a server handle the recording?
No, it records it on the actual computer.
Very cool. And Jerry, that was from Daniel from the audacitytopodcast.com. Jeremy says, any word on when you'll support other storage services like Google Drive?
Yeah, I think this is not the first time that Yakko has brought this to my attention. Yakko is a regular user of the service. It's coming. Google makes it a little bit harder to do the uploading in chunks like I'm doing with Dropbox. And I'm just trying to make it really rock solid using Dropbox first. And then once everything's just really, really smooth, then I'll start looking into adding some other services. I'm hoping, you know, maybe at the end of this quarter, I can start looking into adding Google Drive. And
then Chris wants to know, does it play nice with people on lesser hardware like a Chromebook? And what kind of requirements do you need?
You know, I've had some people use Android mobile devices and record successfully.
I was going to ask about that. If I send somebody a link and they open it on their phone, does that work?
It will work if you're using Chrome on Android. It's not optimized for that, and I don't officially support that right now. It's officially supporting desktops and laptops. But
what about Chrome on iOS?
No, it won't work because Chrome on iOS is actually Safari. It's just a wrapper around Safari because Apple won't let you use a different browser. Mm-hmm. But you can dress up their browser to look like yours if you want. But Apple has announced that they're going to add support for the WebRTC API. Hopefully, you know, they didn't give a deadline, but they said they're going to add it. And so I'm hoping within the next few months, it'll be possible to use on Safari, on desktop, and on mobile.
Go ahead.
So you're in development phase. It's a free service for now, correct?
Yep.
Are there plans to monetize it?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
We're weird. We like to pay for stuff so that it actually sticks around.
You know, it's actually kind of funny because I guess this is a good sign, but I get emails from people all the time that are nervous that I'm not charging yet. Yeah. And they're like, can we just pay you? And then, you know, we're more, a lot of people are more confident when they're paying for a service. Yeah. And, you know, it's not going to disappear and whatever. So I'm actually, this weekend's push to add Wave support is kind of the final big feature that I'm going to add before I start, you know, final bug testing and fixing, and then move to out of the beta into a paid plan.
Yeah, and we should say Zencastr is ZENCASTR.com because E's are evil, apparently. And nobody likes them. We all kick them out. That's the way it works.
Well, he's got one. He's got one.
That's true. He's got one. That's right. That's true.
No, I didn't have the domain, the regular, the full one right away. I own it now, but now I'd have to change everything around. And so I'm just sticking
branding.
I'd redirect it.
You going to go for Zencastr with an OR as well?
Maybe I should.
Just get them all.
Well, someone asked if there's a Zencastr podcast, and that's kind of why I called in to you guys.
Okay.
I had a question for you.
Oh, cool.
That's what we're here for.
I am working on a podcast because it's ridiculous to have a podcasting company and not have a podcast. And B, I've just seen everyone else have all the fun. I kind of stumbled into the podcasting space. I've listened to podcasts a lot, but I never was like wanting to be a podcaster.
Be careful. It grows on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've seen, you know, seeing all the shows come through, and especially just recognizing how great of a kind of promotion tool it is when you have a product to connect with your audience and kind of cross promote and like networking as well. And so, yeah, I'm working on, I've already recorded the first episode.
So kudos.
That was a big step.
Congrats.
And using Zencastr.
Awesome.
But I guess my question for you guys is the figuring out the angle for the show. I'll preface it like this. Obviously the goal is to be a show that is interesting to my existing users and potential future users. And so it needs to have some sort of a podcasting angle. However, I'm a complete podcasting noob. I recorded my first show ever last week. So I have a little bit of, as you mentioned on the site, like imposter syndrome, I guess, feel like I'd be speaking authentically about podcasting to other people who have way more experience than me. At the same time, like one of my main interests is like entrepreneurship and building companies and bootstrapping and that kind of thing. So I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of weave those together in a way that would be interesting. And I don't know if you guys have any guidance as to how I should do that.
Well, number one, welcome aboard. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years. There are times when I'm like, why would anybody like, you know, it's been a running gag that, you know, now I'm the Dave Jackson. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm just, you know, kind of thing. And we all have that at times. So that's, so you're normal in thinking that. The cool thing is, your background, which I have, you know, obviously you're some sort of programmer. You got something going on there that's pretty high end on the technical side. You already said you're into entrepreneur stuff. You have a whole different, you know, background that will bring you to the same topic from a different angle. I mean, one of my favorite examples was I was talking about booking guests on your show and doing interviews. So my episode on that was all about things like appointlet and schedule once and time zones and all the things. It's kind of a hassle to do an interview. My buddy, Eric K. Johnson, who's the podcast talent coach, did a whole thing on doing interviews, and it was all about coming up with the right questions, much more content oriented. Mine was much more technology focused because we come at it from completely different angles. So you know, the cool thing is the power of your podcasting is it's got you in it. And that's a whole different aspect of it. SB, anything you want to chime in here?
Yeah, there's a couple of great examples out there right now that you could view for different angles. Definitely, you'd want to put your own spin on it. But one is the very own The Dave Jackson's Clamorcast, where he's taking clamors from the app Clamor, and then he puts a tip at the end. So you could do examples of how to use the system and that sort of thing, as well as what interests you as well. On the Better Podcasting podcast, we have a segment talking about our main topic, and then we do a download segment talking about relevant news or a neat trick or tip or whatever that we do. And then also the Feed podcast over at Libsyn, that's a great example where they really talk about everything podcasting. Rob Walsh gives podcast stats, which everybody, you know, the podcasters just go nuts. I love the stats. And it's great. And you're right. A lot of different podcast companies do have podcasts. The ones that don't, you're scratching your head like, are they really interested in the space or anything like that? They get to know you. They get to know the technology involved. They get to know what benefits your product has for them. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think about it, in your case, you could have tips on interviews. You could have tips on scheduling and anything about interviewing, because people that are using your product are doing that. The other thing, keep in mind, it doesn't have to be an hour long. It could be a 5-minute podcast. That's something other people are like, well, you know, it's supposed to be 20 minutes. I'm like, says who? You know, it can be, you know, hey, here's today's 5-minute tip. You know, did you know that blah, 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 da, da, da. And if you do this, this is how you'll benefit. Brought to you by Zencastr.com. You know, that kind of thing. And oh, by the way, while I'm here, if you guys haven't used the system yet, here's a new thing you can do. Here's how you're going to benefit by using my product. I don't know that anybody's going to, you know, it's weird because I know in your head you're like, oh, it's a big giant commercial. I feel like the School of Podcasting is a big giant commercial because I mentioned it the last 2 minutes of a 45-minute show, come sign up. You know, and it's like, oh, is that too much? It's like 0.0001% of my podcast is an advertisement. So the beautiful thing is, throw it out there. Start it when somebody, you know, ask somebody who's not your mom for some feedback and realize you can't improve anything until you launch it. And then from there, keep on going. And yeah, Darren Drake in the I always want to put an R in his last name. Darren, I'm sorry about that. From the Corner Talk podcast says there are great business cards. In fact, on Monday's School of Podcasting, you'll hear a phenomenal Because of My Podcast story from Darren. So, but yeah, I would just throw it out there. And I mean, SP started a show about podcasting. I have many members of the School of Podcasting that have gone on to, here we go with the quotation marks, come on to be my competition. And I'm always like, it's not competition because there's 7 days in the week and it's not like I'm on at 10:30 and so is SP. So you got to pick one or the other. It's that lovely time shifted thing. So, you know, listen to me on Monday, listen to SB on Tuesday, listen to Daniel on Wednesday, Ray on Friday, the Feed on Saturday, throw in Mike Dell on, maybe you could do him on Monday. You know, it's, and you'll just be amazed at how many people, you know, basically just start tuning in. Especially the whole thing is, you know, think of who your audience is and what do they want to hear, and then give them that, and then ask them, was that valuable? And if they go yes, then keep giving them that. And if they say, that was all right, and you're like, okay, maybe not, and you just tweak. And it's like a recipe. You know, you kind of go, this needs more sugar. All right, needs more salt. And you just kind of keep tweaking it.
And there's certain hosting skills that you're going to learn over time that it's just going to make it easier to actually produce the podcast, talk on the podcast, that sort of thing, have mic presence. And it's something that everybody learns. Unless you're coming from a broadcast background, you're going to not be as polished as you are years later, basically. So just give it a little time as well. And it's fun. As long as you're having fun, I'd keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you guys listen to the Here Startup podcast from Gimlet?
Oh, yeah. Media? Yep.
So I found that show just really fascinating as an entrepreneur myself, like the way that they kind of did, like, you know, told their own story as they were doing it.
You could do that.
And so, that was one of the things I was trying to think of is, like, I definitely want to find a way to kind of insert this, you know, the story, the pains and the triumphs of the business throughout the, you know, the show. Whilst, and I don't know if maybe, you know, maybe people who are interested, I mean, people who are podcasters seem to be interested in a lot of things, business and marketing related as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe it wouldn't feel like that big of a divergence from like the main content. Or
the cool thing is all you have to do is go to the people that are using your product and go, hey, I launched a podcast. Can you, you know, rate and review me? You know, so you already got an audience built in there. Now I have a new podcast. Why don't you check it out? And then also one of the things, and I don't know why they quit. I need to dig into this, but Evernote at one point had a podcast where they got the CEO, the main marketing dude, and the main technical guy. And they would have their audience call in and say how they were using Evernote. And it was a commercial that didn't sound at all like a commercial. It was like, yeah, we never thought about it, but I'm keeping all my recipes in this now. And it's blah, 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 blah. So, you know, you might want to ask your audience, like, you know, who, what's been your favorite, you know, kind of like a because of my podcast story, you know, who did you get to interview on Zencastr that you didn't think you're going to get to? Somebody asked that question. We are going to answer that later, but you know, you might want to get your audience involved, because they can then help promote your product without it sounding like a, you know, this Sunday kind of promotion and beat people over the head with it.
Well, so. that's actually one of the things that I found kind of magical about starting the podcast was originally when I launched Zencastr, I was reaching out to people who have podcasts for podcasters and trying to say, what do you think of the product? You know, trying to kind of, you know, imply that maybe they could share this on their Twitter or whatever, or get them to talk about it. And it's actually quite hard to, I was coming at it the wrong way. I was, you know, asking before giving, I suppose. But once you have a podcast, then you can say, you can just say, hey, I'd really love for you to be on my podcast. My listeners would love it. All my users at Zencastr might be future user customers of yours if you come on the show. And then, if you do that, then they're tweeting about your show. Then they're talking about your product. And
hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, I presume that you, I mean, it, so far it's worked where you, if you record with someone, they usually try and give you a tweet at least.
Yep. We had a couple quick questions come in again here. Where'd the one go? Mike was asking, was super geeky about here, this one. Do you know when will the WebRTC, and again, we're getting our geek on, API allow users to select an output other than the default output? Any idea? Do you have any control over that?
Not yet. Right now, it defaults to your system output. Right now, the WebRTC API does not allow you to enumerate output devices. You can do it on the input devices, but not output yet. It's coming, though.
Yeah. Ryan K. Parker from Food Craftsman asks, how many users do you have at this time on your service?
There's a few. There's like between 2,000 and 3,000 right now.
Really? Wow, that's cool.
I mean, and I haven't done any marketing aside from like Twitter and, you know, so it's, you know, it's definitely enough to like test it out. There's people using it all the time so I can get good feedback and stuff like that.
Well, you need to make the morning show circuit, you know, like a publisher thing, go on like the Today Show and stuff like that. but seriously, it's a great product. And I have a question for you. It's not just for podcasters, right? Anybody can actually use this service that wants to record their talk on both ends, right? Like if you're doing a conference call or something for a business.
Yeah, there's some other opportunities for, you know, I it's actually, some people are using it for non-podcast related things, which is kind of interesting. I'm still going to maintain my focus on podcasting, but there's like gamers who record who like do Twitch gaming, but they record their audio stream through Zencastr. Mm-hmm. There's people who are just doing non-podcast related interviews to, you know, just it's an easy way to grab high quality audio from anyone. So,
and Jason Bryan from Matt Talk Online wants to know, what made you start Zencastr?
Oh, you mean how did someone who knows nothing about podcasting start a podcast company?
Yeah.
So I was actually working on a previous startup company called SoundKeep.com. It's defunct now, but it was basically helping electronic music. The idea was to help electronic musicians create music and collaborate together online, sharing the audio back and forth, sharing their assets with each other, kind of an open source music idea around it. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's a cool idea. We didn't execute very well on it. And
the idea does have merit. I've seen YouTube videos where people have collaboratively created full orchestration type pieces on YouTube. So it's
And there's a couple of companies who kind of have carried the torch on, and I don't know how well they're doing. They're still up. So it's a hard idea to monetize, at least currently. Mm. But anyway, so I was working on that, and as I was working on that, someone said, I don't know about this electronic music thing, but I know the podcasting space has a hard time getting audio back and forth and recording and stuff like that. And I just kind of shelved it. I didn't really know anything about it, and I was busy doing the other thing. Then after that all fell apart, and I found out I had a baby on the way, I was like, okay, I need to kick it into high gear and get a quicker path to revenue on something. And so I started interviewing I had some friends that were podcasters, and so I brought it up, and I was like, hey, what's the problem here? Why, you know? And they told me, he told me about, how he did recording, which was everybody is on Audacity on each end, and that they don't have guests on the show as often as they would like, because it's a pain to train people as to how to record and get them the audio and this and that. And I realized that I could, and at the same time, WebRTC and Web Audio was just barely breaking the scene. And I realized that I could build something kind of using what I had learned previously building the other company into something for podcasters.
Very cool. So, well, Steven wants to know, they have four people doing exactly what you're talking about, and they have a thing, and I've never run into this, digital drift. I've never had a problem with that, but I've heard people where, I guess, maybe they record at different speeds or whatever, and all of a sudden everything's off. How do you guys handle that?
Occasionally that does happen. It seems to be pretty rare. The hard part is it's due to minute differences in the sampling rates of the sound cards on the different hardware. And so there's not a great workaround for that. I only get maybe one complaint a month about it. So it does happen. I don't know if there's a great way to automatically resolve it.
Right.
What I found is that because of the lag in between, you already have a little bit of lag in the conversation when you're talking, through VoIP. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of gives you a little bit of wiggle room anyway for a little bit of drift. And then, if it gets really bad, then I've actually thought about maybe offering have some editors on hand that for an added, one-time price, fix the drift on this show for me, and just to have some kind of solution for people. But it is a problem.
Yeah. I see everybody's throwing different, MP4, what was the other one Bill threw in here? I'm like, what the heck's an MR4? Any other capabilities that or is this just going to be basically waving MP3s? Because to me, MP4 is...
That'd be video.
Yeah. That would be... Wow.
It's... I just kind of... The infrastructure that I just built to handle the WAV files, which are way, way bigger than the MP3s, could scale up to handling video as well. I think that's in the future at some point. What I found, though, is a lot of the core users are not interested in video.
Yeah.
There are people that are, but it's kind of a subsect of the main podcasting crowd. So I'm going to gauge interest in it and wait until things kind of beef up a little bit more on the, I run everything on a Mac, an old MacBook Air, so that I'm not too far ahead of everyone else. But I think in the next 2 or 3 years, people are going to be on more powerful computers. It'll be less of an issue to be running video and recording video and storing video.
So, not just the computer speed, it is the internet link speed as well. And maybe not necessarily to your house, maybe somewhere along the way in the route in between locations.
you know, that's where you might end up with a limit on users in a room on Zencaster, is if everyone was trying to pipe video to each other, might get a little out of control. But I think, yeah, as Yakko was saying, he does a show with 5 people. I know shows that do 10 people on it.
Wow. That's
the most I've heard of.
And then, is this your full-time job at this point, or?
No, I've worked for an e-commerce website from in the U.S. I live in New Zealand right now.
Wow.
So I'm working That's remotely so awesome. For them. That's pretty cool, except for it's like 5 a.m. right now.
Holy cow.
Giving it up to be on Ask the Podcast Coach. That's awesome.
I stayed up for you guys.
I appreciate that, my friend. I think we already answered this one. What about broadcast wave support? What is broadcast wave? I mean, to me, it's like wave and wave. I did see somebody say, what bit rate is the wave?
That was Mike Phillips.
Yeah.
So the wave file would be 16-bit, 44-100 hertz. So your standard kind of wave. I'm actually thinking about offering people the option to lower the bit rate, so, or lower the sample rate so that it uploads faster. Because maybe you guys know this or not. I don't know how, according to like my understanding of like audio signal processing and like the Nyquist theorem and all that, you really only need to have a sample rate that's twice the highest frequency that you're trying to capture. And if the human voice has a max frequency of like 4 kilohertz, then you really would only need a sample rate of 8 kilohertz.
Mike Phillips, who is all, if you haven't met Mike Phillips, Mike Phillips is the man you need to talk to.
Am I wrong? He says wrong.
He says wrong. Yeah. So,
yeah, I would friend him or follow him on Twitter, and then set up a time to talk to him about the audio quality and the the differences between bit rates and stuff like that, and how that might affect Zencaster and the end user. I think that would be a very profitable conversation you might have with him.
I will do that. I'm awesome. Assuming Mike Phillips, write your Twitter handle in there.
He's at MC Phillips.
It's the same.
Cool. Yeah. So. Well, very cool, man. I appreciate you staying up. Any other questions for us before we cut you loose?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to take over your whole show. I just want to pop in.
I'm glad you stopped in. It's like, cool. So
everybody wants to learn more about Zencaster.
Yeah. Like I say, I have yet to really use it yet. I got to use it from the end user point of view. Probably be playing with it this afternoon just to play with it. But I know at the School of Podcasting, there's 3 people that have said, oh, I've been using it and haven't had a problem yet. Cause that's the other thing. We're all like, what if it breaks? It's like, well, you know, everything kind of breaks eventually, but, hopefully so far I haven't had anybody go, I was interviewing the president and you know, I lost everything. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm pushing out a bunch of bug fixes tomorrow and adding the wave support. So if you try it out, maybe wait until,
until the bug fixes are, so. I do have a question. Yeah. What's the common, are there any common mistakes that you're like, oh, if somebody did the thing again? Is there any common mistakes that people are doing using your service?
You know, the biggest problem that I'm having is people will record with their guest, and then as soon as they're done talking, they'll close their laptop lid. And what that does is it makes it so the final parts of the audio don't upload, and it doesn't kind of finalize it in Dropbox. If they try to close the tab, I say, hey, don't do that. But if they close the laptop, I can't really do anything. So I'm trying to figure out ways to kind of message that better and kind of educate people ahead of time.
Is there any kind of notification that says it's cool to close your lid or anything at this point?
That's one of the things I'm adding right now, is like letting people know explicitly that everything is uploaded. And like, I probably should say that, like, you may now leave.
You may now. Yes. Elvis has left the building. Yes.
Someone asked what the post-production does. It basically, if you guys are familiar with Auphonic, that's what I use behind the scenes to run the post-production for Zencaster, because they do a really great job.
There you go.
And so it does, I actually just use the default Auphonic settings. You'll be able to configure it later, but it does loudness normalization. It runs compression, does noise gating. It does cross gating with the voices, and It also does like a adaptive loudness leveling over the thing, which I guess is the compression.
Very cool. Well, I'm gonna let you stay in here. We're normally gonna get four people in here, but when it's Ryan K. Parker, you know, you got to let him in because
no one will punch you in the face.
So
if you have four people in your blab,
yeah. When one of them is Ryan K. Parker, you get four people in the blab. How's it going, buddy?
It is going great. You guys can hear me, okay?
Yeah.
I've got a whole new setup, and so
yeah, it's like, wow, you've changed.
You never know.
You're not in the basement with a sheet anymore, or whatever it was.
No, but I am in the basement still.
Oh,
so excellent. That's always good. Actually, I have a question, and I'm sorry, I don't know your first name.
Josh.
Josh, I have a question for you about Zencastr. So, if you are, creating you're doing an interview with somebody on the other end, do you receive a file with their audio as well? And yours, so it's like two separate tracks.
Yeah, and he has people doing 10 people, and you get 10 separate files.
Oh wow, that's great.
Yeah,
that's crazy awesome. All right, well, honestly, that was really the only question that I had for today. I'm looking to see what camera I'm on, but that was the only question I had for today because I just learned about you, so I went in over and just recorded 10 seconds to see what it was all about. But thanks, Josh.
Yeah, if you jump in, it'll record, it'll throw them into your Dropbox account, and then you and your guests can download their track, but no one else's, and then you can download everybody's.
That's great. Hey guys, thanks for the great show, and I'll check you guys later. I just wanted to pop in and say hi to everybody.
Thanks, man. Always good.
All right.
The one and only Ryan K. Parker from foodcraftsman.com. Awesome. Well, thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I'll maybe try and catch you guys again when I'm pulling the late night shift.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and you get the real deal on this seat. Jim will be back.
No. Thanks, man.
Cool. Bye.
And now everybody's going to want to ask more questions. So, you should have let him go. It's like,
yeah, I know. That was awesome. Thanks, Josh, for staying up so late.
So, well, that was fun. Completely. It's one of the things I like about this show is it's kind of like I always have stuff that we might talk about, and then somebody will come in with a really cool question. And I did want to answer this one from Rachel S. Lee says, tips for getting whoever you want on your podcast for an interview. Well, number one, when it comes for getting interview guests, don't go big first. Do not. Mm-hmm. I like, oh, there she is. Let's just have you come in and ask this question. Yeah.
I was just going to joke and ask it out loud.
Yeah, go right ahead. It sounds better coming from you.
Do you have any tips for getting whoever you want, whoever you dream of on your interview show?
Yes. Number one. So let's say I want to interview Ted Nugent because I grew up, me and the Nuge were like this. And so I might want to go and find, because Ted's still touring. Ted still makes music and he makes people upset with all the things he says. So I might want to find somebody down the food chain. So let's find maybe Rudy Sarzo, who's the bass player from Quiet Riot, who isn't really doing much these days, or find somebody who's got a book that they're pimping and find that first guest. And especially that's the key. Find somebody who's pimping something, because especially if it's a book, because what you can do is go to the publisher and go, hey, I can see where this person has a book out. It really fits my audience, and I would love to interview them, because the publisher will go to them and say, you need to go on this podcast. Because if you ask them, they might go, who are you? But the publisher kind of goes, remember that book advance we gave you? Part of that was promoting the book. And and then when you get that first one, then you can go, hey, I had so-and-so on the podcast. You know, here's our show, blah, blah, blah. Here's what we talk about. And in the past, we've had so-and-so and so-and-so. And they go, well, hey, if Rudy Sarzo's been on here, I'll do that show. And then you go, great, now I've had Carmine Appice. And then you go from Carmine, you go, any chance you could get me? You were Nugent's drummer. Any chance you could get me a little in with the Nuge? And he goes, no, but I know his cousin. And then
instead of asking them straight up, you ask someone connected to them, and then the connector will ask them. And then there's a bias. There's, I forget which of the cognitive biases it is, but...
Yeah.
One of them.
Well, my other thing is, number one, when you first start out, you're horrible at interviewing. You're not very good at it. Myself included, when I first started out, I listened back and I just go, gee. So that way you wrap your, what is the thing here? It's not break your teeth. You grow your teeth on little baby interviews, and you work on your interview skills.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah. And then that way, when you finally do get the big fish, you're not going, so tell me a little bit about yourself. If you haven't, by the way, go over to podcasttalentcoach.com. Phenomenal. His last episode is all about how to start an interview. And it's just, love that guy, man. Just off the meter. He just pegged it. And I was like, oh, speak to me, Mr. Johnson. He's a very, very good guy.
You want to hear what strategy I just did?
Sure.
So I'm at this conference right now. I'm in the hotel lobby. And it's from this business coach called Nick Unsworth. And I want him on my interview show. A month ago, he inspired me to start an interview show. And it's a blab interview show. It's not a podcast, but similar. So I was, you know, had a whole strategy, kind of throw it out there, have him learn about it, know about it, kind of mention to him that I want him on there in a couple months when I have more followers. There's 400 people at this conference. I go in the microphone because he said, like, what are your 5 goals you picked? And I said, well, my first goal is, Nick, you inspired me last month to start an interview show. And I want to get you on my show. And just in front of 400 people, he was like, okay, done.
That'll work. So, yeah.
Putting him on the spot.
Yeah.
And I've seen that fail too. So yes, it's a 50-50 chance.
Well, and I didn't expect him to say yes. I was actually just trying to put the feelers out there. I was so surprised. He said, okay, done.
Well, the other thing I don't do is I don't go up and say, hey, Rachel, I would love to have you come on my show. I have a really small audience and you're probably not going to get much out of it. And I'm kind of new. That is not going to, you just go in and go, hey, you know what? I've read your book. I've listened to your podcast. Man, you have great stuff. And my audience would get so much if you could come on the show. So you just, you know, ego. And I bought your book. I'm your customer too. And then say, and it would only take, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes over Skype. And the cool thing is, you're face to face. It's hard to say no to somebody face to face. They might get sick later, but it's hard to say no face to face. So, you know, but I wouldn't leave.
It's easy to trash an email.
Yeah. I wouldn't, it's because again, it's that imposter syndrome. We're going up. They would never, why would they come on my show? They want to come on your show. They probably have something to promote or whatever. And it's one of my very first sponsors that I got didn't even ask how many downloads I had. They just knew I had people that wanted to lose weight. And they're like, that's what we're looking for here. How much do you want? And I was like, really? Because in my brain, I'm like going, you didn't ask me how many downloads I have. I'm like, yeah, here's my fee. Here you go. Bingo. So
do people contact you to come on to your show? Like, can I please come on your show? And then are they maybe not your ideal interviewee?
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. I did one and I said, I think you're a fit. And I said, but here's what we'll do. I said, I will interview you. I reserve the right to not publish it. So, you know, coming in, you might spend 20 minutes with me that will never get aired. And they went, that's cool. So now here's the thing. If you're a nice person, you have to have the courage to not publish it then, which is not easy to do because you're like, well, they gave me their time. Like, I kind of feel it's that whole, you have that law of reciprocity that you kind of feel like, well, I should put it out because they did. And it's like, from my chair, that's really tough for me. And you'll notice on Monday School of Podcasting, the interview is going to be a little different because it wasn't exactly, it's different. You'll see.
Another thing is like my blab show, it's live and it's every Wednesday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. If someone asks to be on my show and they're not the right fit, I'll be like, come on a Monday. So they're like, I'm still interviewing them, but it's not like my actual official show.
There you go. Yeah. And you could always fit it in later. There are some people that will do a pre-interview. When I had Jordan Harbinger, I called him up to interview him only to find out that it wasn't an interview. It was a pre-interview because he wanted to make sure that I was a good fit for him as well. And so he's like, yeah, we can definitely do an interview. And I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, oh, not now. And I'm like, oh, so we had to reschedule. So some people will do that. I don't know that I have enough time to do an interview to see if I want to interview you.
He does a lot of pre-qualifications, though, in his entire business model. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Well, and for my blab show, a lot of the guests, it's their first time doing blab. So part of it is intriguing. Like, hey, I have one of the top shows on this newest social media platform, or sell it like that. Like, you should totally come on and convince him, like, this is the newest social media platform. You really want to be on this.
I'm not sure the platform's going to, I mean, it's a thing. It's, I don't know if I would lead with that. To me, just think about how you're going to benefit, you know, and if you can explain to them how you have their target audience, That's what everybody's looking for. Everybody's looking for their target audience. So when you can say, here's the people this and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then, so.
Do you send them over any, if you're going to be on my show, these are the 5 things I need you to do to help promote it? Or one thing, like any stipulations, like, can you share it on your social media or send it to your email list? Or is that too much to ask for?
That's your choice. I know people that do that. They're like, I will only have you on my show if you promise to promote it. SP, any ideas on this one? I'm like, to me, I'm like, look, you're giving me content. I'm happy for it. And you're giving me stuff that's going to make people tune in next week. The key is to make sure you produce an episode that they want to promote. Right. So don't make them look stupid. Cut out every time they went, you might want to cut that out. Produce a show that sounds good. So if you're on Blog Talk Radio, they might not want to promote that because it, so make them sound as good as possible. That is the job of an interview, is to make your guests sound really, not you sound good, make them sound good. And then because you're standing next to the person that looks really good, it kind of rubs off on you a little bit.
And what's cool is that's what they're teaching at this event. So, and they're teaching us to overcome imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
So it empowers us to not feel that way.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very, 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 very hard. I talk in front of people every single day. And yet when I'm going to be speaking at a conference in February and the 2 minutes before it, I'm going to be wetting my pants. And yet I do that every single day. So it is what it is. So.
I don't know what it is, but those big events definitely get me. I have no idea.
Yeah.
One of the ladies at this event, she came up to me and she gave me her card. She's like, I just published a book. I want to be interviewed on your show. And I'm like, well, that's cool. I would love for lots of people to be like, interview me.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, I always ask people when they say, I think I'd be a good guest. And usually it's like, I've done all this in business. And I'm like, okay, my podcast is about podcasting. And I always say, tell me the bullet points that you think would connect with my audience, because 9 times out of 10, they haven't listened to my show. And that drives me nuts because I have people that contact me about my marketing musician podcast that I rarely play any music. And they're like, hey, our new single's out. You should play it on your show. I'm like, obviously you don't listen to my show. So I usually ask them and they're like, I think I'd be a good fit. I go, why? Why do you think you're a good fit? And prove to me that you've done your homework. Because if you have, then I'll actually go and think about it. But if you go, because I'm so great, and I'm like, okay, next,
Lewis Howes, interview me. Yeah. I like Roy's question here, but I know other people had questions before that, so I'll hop off. All right. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you guys later.
Where can we find your podcast?
Well, it's not a podcast. It's just my blab show.
What's it called?
Well, right now it's hashtag Knowledge Party TV, but I think I'm going to take out the TV part. So it's just the hashtag Knowledge Party every Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Rachel, how'd you like to grow your audience by 90%?
Go upload it on iTunes.
Yeah, make it a podcast. 10% of, I have 44 people watching me right now. When this is done, it's going to go out to about somewhere between 300 and 500 people. Because not everybody, I know you can watch a blab later, but go to where they are. And that's what podcasting is, because, if you want it on here where they are, that's what a podcast is. So
do you suggest then I just forward the audio replay over to my $4 an hour virtual assistant to upload to
Libsyn or Blueberry or Podbean or Spreaker?
And then does that send it to iTunes?
Yep. And join the school and join the school of podcasting. Have your VA join the school of podcasting and I'll walk you through the whole thing.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Well, thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah. Live is cool, folks, but you're missing 90% of your audience. Wouldn't you say?
That's a great example of starting a show on Blab, not knowing what you're doing, getting a following, getting an audience, understanding your footing, and then being able to move into a podcast and get more listens, more audience that way as well.
Yeah. So the one and only, where you love her, Eileen Smith.
Hey, Eileen.
How are you, sweetie?
How are you? Great.
What's going on?
I was hoping that you would let me in while she was still on, but thanks for letting me in anyway, because there was a few things that she was talking about, and I don't think you guys were thinking it's just a blab show, because she was talking about asking the person to share. Well, when you're on Blab, you know, it's really like a no-brainer to just ask, can everybody please share this, including the guest? And so I would think that they would share it out while you're on Blab anyway. So, you know, I don't know if she is planning to do really.
Well, you can send
her on
them
the spot about making a podcast. I don't know if that's what she wants to do.
Well, you can send them the link later anyway, the Blab link to the specific page, and ask them to retweet it, to put it on Facebook, whatever. If you get their email address, it's easy to email. And the same sort of promotion tools would apply to a Blab as would a podcast, in my opinion.
And, you know, it's interesting, though. I don't know how you guys are, because you guys are definitely uploading everything as a podcast. But some replays,
not everything,
you may not. I don't personally, some replays I don't promote. I may leave them on my profile. Somebody goes over there, they can watch them. But it's kind of like, it would have been better if you would have been there live. But watching the replay might not be the greatest experience. Well, so I think it just depends upon her show and all that stuff.
Right. So I have recorded stuff on Blab that I have decided not to put up on any of my podcasts. And then I have gone back later and tried to search for that and cannot find it for the life of me. So the discoverability, the searchability on Blab, it can be improved a little bit, but I'm not going to complain about it because I enjoy using the platform, the interactivity on it, and everything about that. But yeah, definitely. I don't put everything that I do on Blab out as a podcast. I can record it, and then I can decide later, you get that click later that you can go back into your episode and you can decide not to publish it. So you could take it out.
Yeah, I cut out anytime somebody can't come into a Blab, like I cut that out. The one day I got on a whole tear about, I forget what it was. I think it was my beard or something at the beginning of the show. And I was like, I did like 4 minutes on my beard. I'm like, who cares?
Everybody wants to know about the Dave Jackson's beard.
Come on. Right? So, the beard.
You cut that out.
The almost beard.
Yeah. Part of the podcast.
And I also wanted to tell you guys about a couple of new things that are going on Blab. And this is a one that everybody, even folks in the chat, can do. Now, one of the new slash commands is slash notify. So even if you're in chat, you can notify your followers. So not with the slash notify, huh? No, the snow is gone.
Oh, that was
I know. Yeah. And what you were saying about your past Blabs, I notice if you go to your profile, guys, some of the really older Blabs are not there anymore.
And I
don't know. I have talked to Blab.
That's another reason why they should be a podcast.
You know? Well, and this is another reason why, guys, when you get that link, download those files, even if you think you're never, ever going to use them, because there's always, especially for podcasters, there's always going to be a clip that you may be able to grab from them. So, and I don't, like I said, I don't know why all of a sudden, and I don't know what time point they went back to, but I just know I went on my profile. I'm like, where's all my old Blabs?
So question for you, Eileen. Have you noticed a Blab that was gone and then gone back to your email to try to download it via the link?
No, I always download it immediately. So as soon as I get that link, I download it right away because I don't want to chance it.
That would be interesting to know, if you don't see it on your profile, if you can still get to that audio and video later.
You know, actually, I still save the emails, so I may be able to answer that question. So, but I'm going to pop out with somebody who has a question. I just wanted to, you know, say that about that question she was asking about asking people to promote. And someone had that same question. I think it was our friend William Solis. He had interviewed Joel Kahn. And it was like his very first podcast episode. And he said, Joel hadn't tweeted it out. And he asked a question, should he go back and ask Joel again? And I was thinking, and I can't remember, was it here on this show?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, don't ask. Come again. If he didn't do it, he either didn't want to, doesn't care to, or he don't have time. Or he's not listening to your emails anymore anyway. So.
Yeah, excellent.
Right.
All right, okay. Miss Eileen.
All right. Have a good notify one. Everybody.
Yeah. And Nazim, we are going to pull you in here in a second. We're going to wrap up the first part of the show if you're a regular listener, this is where we do a little post show here. And if you want to hear part of that, you know what? Eileen can, because she's one of our awesome supporters. Actually, she's an awesome supporter of Weekly Web Tools. But Annie Sokolovich from UnleashStrengths.com, Mike from ADHDThinkTank.com, Corey Finneran from Ivy Envy, Ed Bubbero from InsideOutZone.com, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv, Craig from Inglés Podcast, that's who I'm wearing his shirt today, and little old me, I actually support myself. I understand you can go blind doing that, but at any rate, we will be here for a little bit longer. SB, where can people find you, buddy?
You can find my show at betterpodcasting.com. It's part of the Gonna Geek Network. It is a great place to be.
And thanks for being on the show. Appreciate you sitting in. Jim will be back next week. And thanks to Josh from Zencastr. Check that out, ZENCASTR.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 when you sign up at the School of Podcasting, and we'll see you next week on Ask the Podcast Coach.